If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the divine love that dwells within every heart. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is the game-changing new realities we all must face. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward and sink deeply into that place of love and peace and deep innermost calm. Take another deep breath. And let go of everything but this moment and this breath. And find that place of calm that nothing can disturb. That is your safe place. That is the place that if you are in it, nothing can affect or dislodge you from that peace. It's a practiced state that we light workers have been educating ourselves and finding for some time now. And so we are the ones that are now being called forward as game-changing. New realities are coming online throughout the world, shifting lives in a nanosecond into the unknown. And we have a mission of having hopefully gotten that infrastructure of inner equanimity and strength so solid within us that we can indeed be the way showers and light bearers at this time for our brothers and sisters. So this is an ability that you consciously and willingly and with willpower call yourself forward into. You have to call yourself into it and evoke it and bring it into your heart, mind, body, present situation. That means you have to reach beyond the mind, beyond your agendas, and prioritize activating your own divinity. That is what spiritual strength is all about. So take another deep breath. And bring that higher divine presence that is you at a higher level. And anchor it deeply within the core of your innermost being. And open yourself this evening as a direct pillar of light and strength. Anchoring deep into the soul star in the center of the earth. Anchoring balance and stability wherever you are planted on the planet. Seeing yourself as such a pillar of light and strength that you literally hold a balance here when everything else is shaking. You become that place of peace within the grid that enables whole areas to come under a divine umbrella of protection. That is why you're on Earth at this time. You didn't come for any other reason, and the highest level of addressing your being here. You didn't come for any other reason than to be a divine anchoring of peace, stability, light, and conscious presence on this planet at this time. So let's hear what Sai Baba has to say about love and about his own anchoring as a direct embodiment of love and peace and truth. He says of himself, which is really the same thing as saying who you are, because his self and yourself are identical. It's just that he knows that self, and we're in the process still of discovering it. So this is what he has to say. I am love. I shower love. I share love. I am pleased with love. I bless you to give more and more love to more and more beings. Love is God. God is love. So live in love, Baba. He goes on to say, burn the lamp of love inside the niche of your heart. Then the nocturnal birds of greed and envy will fly away, unable to bear the light. Love makes you humble. It makes you bend and bow when you see greatness and glory. An unbending person is affected with egoism of the worst type. Remember, man is the only animal that can recognize and revere the great, glorious, and godly. I do not insist that a person should have faith in God. I refuse to call any person an atheist. Beings exist as a result of his will, in accordance with his plan, so no one is beyond his grace. Besides, everyone has love towards something or another, and that love itself is a spark of the divine. Everyone has ultimately to base his life on some one truth. That truth is God. No life can be lived out in complete defiance of truth. One has to pay heed to truth and speak the truth to someone in order to make life worth living. Now that moment is God's moment, and that time when he utters truth or loves or serves or bends, he is a theist. So it is not even devotion that is essential. It is love, truth, virtue, and eagerness to progress, to serve, to expand one's heart, to take in the whole of humanity in one's love, to see all as forms of the divine consciousness. If you acquire love, then you can dispense with the scriptures, for the purpose of all scriptures is just that, to create the feeling of equal love for all and to negate egoism, which stands in the way. Reason, too, if it comes in the way of love, is to be discarded as perverted. Love is what the individual and the nation must cultivate now for progress. Love must transform all relationships, social, economic, educational, professional, family, religious, legal, and others. First, consider all as children of the Lord, as your brothers and sisters. Develop quality of love. Seek always the welfare of humanity. Love, and you'll be loved in return. Hate will never be your lot if you promote love and look upon all with love. That is the one lesson I teach always. That is my secret, too. If you want to attain me, cultivate love. Give up hatred, envy, anger, cynicism, and falsehood. I do not ask that you should be a scholar or a recluse or an ascetic, skilled in spiritual exercises. I ask, is your heart full of love? That is all I examine. Believe that love is God, that truth is God. Love is truth. Truth is love. It is only when you love that you have no fear, for fear is the mother of all falsehood. If you have no fear, you will adhere to truth. The mirror of love reflects the Atma, the spirit in you, and reveals to you that that same universal spirit is immanent in every being. Develop truth and love, and then you need not even pray to me to grant you this or that. Everything will be added unto you unasked. God and man are the two wires, the positive and the negative, which combine to bring electricity through. Man will cooperate with God and become the vehicle of divine power if he has acquired the two qualities of truth and love. So tonight, in America in particular, tonight, game-changing, paradigm-shifting events are taking place that will forever change our way of life. Who could have possibly imagined New York City brought to a darkened standstill, Wall Street traders silenced, the stock market closed for 2 days, things most could never, ever think would happen. The New Jersey shoreline all but obliterated, over 9 million people without electrical power, and hundreds of homes burned with no way the firefighters could even get close enough to them to put out the fires. That was how high the storm surge was that swept a swath of destruction. The destruction was unlike any one of us has ever seen before. A storm surge of, I think at one point they estimated almost 14 feet of water. And that totally immobilized New York City and all systems of transportation and affected over 16 states. You know, the airports in New York City and the subway systems, everything was shut down and is still underwater. The salt water corrodes electrical systems, basically. So you have to think that the entire power infrastructure and transport systems of New York City and adjacent areas are going to need to be replaced. It's the ionic symbols of our national and international wealth, commerce, and power that were suddenly revealed to be helpless in the face of Mother Nature. Interesting. You know, we have to realize there is something a great deal more powerful than we that is in control. So far greater than anything man has created is that which has created man, that which has created the forces of nature and the gravitational field that causes this little orb to stay in an orbital around the sun with natural cycles. And now we're in a time when those natural cycles are being recalibrated and readjusted to coincide with changes that are taking place throughout the cosmos, throughout our solar system and the galaxy in which it's held. The changes are throughout all of the planets and the suns and the various things that we do not realize are intrinsically part of this dynamism that's shifting us into a new position, a new global cycle. And just as the events of 9/11 impacted the entire world and forever changed our worldview, so now, 11 years later, Hurricane Sandy has, like 9/11, shifted the Earth's entire magnetic field. And, you know, you have to know that even as we speak right now tonight, that 100,000 or more people are being evacuated from the shorelines in Madras, Chennai, and in Andhra Pradesh due to this massive storm system that's coming in. And again, they're looking at the flooding of the coastlines. And Australia's having their own challenges right now, and the various island nations. And if you look at the things that have happened in just the past, handful of years, there are very few places in the world that have not had their own catastrophes and game-changing events occurring. So these dramatic climatic changes are due to the current intensified solar cycle. But again, the entire planet and nearly every ecosystem of every continent has had some form of repercussive effect as a result of these things. So as the earth changes that have impacted the United States, just those alone, I would run way over time in this show if I just enumerated those. And that's not to mention all of the things that have impacted the other nations, which would take several hours. And sometimes we get so back into our usual schedules that we lose sight of the bigger picture. I like to give you a big overview so you have some context to understand the cycle that we're in from a larger and higher perspective. And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to offer this higher perspective for our ground crew of light workers in coping with these challenges personally, while at the same time assisting others. And it's our task to hold that place of calm, solace, and inner strength that others depend upon when these catastrophes hit. And for many, we make the difference between people having absolute despair and a sense of hopelessness to that sense of, gosh, we can make it. So what I want to say is that we are all in this together. We are a unified field. There's one life that we share with God. There is one mind that we share with each other and with God. There is one love that we embody as embodiments of the divine. There is one divine plan, and we're all part of that plan. We have a place and a function in the universe. We hold a resonant field and a vibration of love that is unique to each one of us. We belong here. We belong to each other. We belong to the earth, and we belong to God. And so we will all make it through just fine. Do not believe that the earth is going to be destroyed and that we're going to go into dark ages times and have to eke out a meager survival like some of these dreadful television shows would suggest. No, nothing of the kind will happen. Instead, we are going to together co-create a new way of living on the planet that addresses the needs of everyone so that everyone can thrive and not just survive, but have a quality of life that we together co-create. So life will be different, and it will be better. You'll see. Our own higher natures, I believe, our own soul levels, are actually orchestrating these pattern interrupts. We have to have something to interrupt business as usual. Otherwise, we'll just keep doing the same old, with no shifting whatsoever into any kind of a new paradigm. So naturally, there's going to be some upsets and upheavals if you're going to change systems that people are really attached to. And whenever you have an attachment to something being the way it has always been, you're going to feel a wrenching and a pain and a sense of loss and anguish and upset when it's disrupted. And many light workers like to find groups of people to blame for these things. And I would like to suggest that that's not the approach to take. Pointing fingers of blame is one of the ego strategies to keep responsibility deflected and deferred to someone else. This is not part of the new paradigm. That's part of the old system. Find somebody to blame and find something to criticize and all of that. Don't waste your energy on that. We are one people. Granted, there are some souls that are more selfish and thus less mature spiritually, but we all have those levels within us of darkness, and we all have those levels within us that are light. So we're all a mixed bag. You can't say that there's a group of people that are entirely evil or a group of people that are entirely good. We're a little mixture down here, and that's the way it's meant to be. It's the mixture of those two energies, the positive and the negative, coming together and rubbing on each other that causes that fire of transformation to ignite. So in a polarity system functioning under the laws of duality and polarity, that's a good thing. So again, you can't have all of the goodness without some of the not-so-good things happening, too. It's part of how things operate down here in this particular dimension. So don't waste your time fighting the darkness. Simply prioritize being the light. And don't look at the problem, but be a resource seeker. Seek for the pony under the pile. Seek for the silver lining. Seek for the positive possibility that's going to come out of this, because it's going to be wonderful. We can make it wonderful. We can make not having it wonderful, not a possibility. So let's be that positive force as we move about with our people and discuss the things that are happening now, because everyone right now is kind of stunned and speechless because, we don't have any roadmap here for these things happening. So if it's true that our higher natures are orchestrating these pattern interrupts, then we have to look at it overall as a step in the direction for positive change. You know, living without radical changes in our priorities and lifestyle is no longer really an option. And at a higher level, we are all aware of this. And I believe we're on board to do whatever it takes to make this new paradigm a reality. So light workers have been told that these earth changes would be occurring as far back as the late 70s. And those of us who have been working on ourselves, meditating, studying, practicing the spiritual keys of higher awareness, we're now like powerful lighthouses in this world. And we have erected an inner foundation of such strength that now it is serving us well at this time, so that we can be strong for others who need that strength and that reassurance. So that's our current mission as I see it, to be sources of strength enabling others to stand and beacons of light shining upon the way. You know, whenever there is a calamity, it seems to bring out whatever is predominant in a person's nature. We are again seeing just extraordinary examples of selfless service, of self-sacrifice, of going beyond, beyond the human limits to reach out and serve people and help people. And we're seeing that across the board with all echelons of society and meeting the crises now that is upon the East Coast. It's really, you really begin to see the humanity and the soul of humanity come forward. And percentage-wise, the people who are younger souls who take advantage of this situation are very, very, very small in number by comparison of the genuine selfless heroes that are arising on all sides in all ages. So changes are upon us, and this is the new norm. And it's going to be a different world from now on. And we must band together and bond together, not only to survive, but to thrive. And it will not be a negative thing, but rather, again, will draw forth the very best in every one of us, like it did with the 9/11. A whole inner city community developed that people really missed when it was over. They really liked that sense of community and the bonding and the interrelationships that were formed at that time in New York City. You know, it's said that, esoterically, if I remember accurately, that New York represents the head centers, and the Washington, D.C. represents the throat center. So those were the two centers being affected. You know, we have to have strong leadership at the head, and we have to have a strong voice of leadership in that national throat center. So those are the two centers that are being addressed. Where we have our head and our thoughts and what's driving us, you know, what the leadership is presenting in the collective. I'm not speaking now of political leadership, but we who are the collective voice on the planet, and we are all co-creating what's going down on the planet. Make no mistake about that. We are, every single one of us, part of the problem and part of the solution. That's just the way it is. There's no Lone Rangers out there, and no one can stand back and say that they have not had a hand in producing exactly what we're dealing with on this planet, and a responsibility to use their life in a way that presents a new energy matrix, a new paradigm, quite simply put. So we will draw forth resources as we are called forward into having to find answers to cope with the problems and situations that we're now presented with. Sometimes you don't tap those areas of resource until something really dramatic shifts you into a different state of resourcefulness. And I believe that we're going to see inventions and better ways of doing literally everything begin to come online and express through our own abilities and working together. And once our paradigm shifts personally from personal profit to prioritizing caring for one another and sharing and being, you know, sharing a way of life that prioritizes the well-being of everyone, that we all can live peacefully and happily together, I believe that this is how we are together co-creating a new version of the Earth that will actually emerge out of these catastrophes, and namely this catastrophe that has literally hit us where most of us live, which is concerned with the almighty dollar and amassing more. You know, you just have to call it what it is. And so it hit us. Where could get our attention? And nothing gets our attention quicker than that which impacts our financial stability. So we chose to be a part of this game-changing paradigm shift simply by being on Earth at this time. And that also means that we came in well-equipped to handle whatever situation we are in. So you only need to stay centered and present and ask, what do I need to do now? Here, right now. And as you deal with the present situation, step by step, you'll find that you have all you need to cope with immediate requirements. You get into worry and angst and trouble when you step out of the immediate and you go into the future or you try to recreate the past. Very important to realize that. It's interesting that so many people want to rebuild exactly where they had their house before. Like, hello, if Mother Nature had a message, what do you think it would be? Don't build on the shore of the ocean. Number one, you know, if everything goes down as it is with the climatic changes on the planet, the number one game-changing reality that we must all contend with globally is climatic change. Underlined, climatic change. This is the new norm, and we must find ways to adapt to survive. And fortunately, we are a very adaptable species. We think we have it hard in these times, but our incarnations at other times were far more difficult. We went through a global, absolutely crippling winter. We've gone through global plagues. We've gone through all sorts of horrific things in our previous incarnations. So just our own history of survival itself should offer us some assurance that we're certainly going to find a way to adapt and survive now. So let's look at some of the priorities that we need to look at. As a people on this planet, the number one major need that we all share in common is food. To survive, we must produce sufficient food globally to feed everyone. So the climate changes are disrupting the normal crop production cycles. Therefore, we must, as a global family, develop new ways to produce food now and fast. You can't be a ostrich and put your head in the sand and not address the fact that we have massive areas in the world that are not going to be able to harvest this season due to drought or flood conditions, or, you know, suddenly one day it's hot and the next day there's snow. You know, you have to take your cues from nature and adapt, just like all of the creatures in nature do and all of the indigenous peoples do. We need to get our heads out of our machines and begin to get back in touch with the natural world to learn anew how to live on the planet and not be so technology handicapped. Another reality that must be globally addressed is the inevitable melting of the ice caps and the immense glaciers worldwide. This is really, really important. This is why. They estimate that the sea level will be raised by 16 feet with the melting of the polar caps and those remaining glaciers, which are now, anyone who's been up there or watched the news will see that they are melting very fast. Now, what drives the jet stream is the salt in the seawater. So if the ocean is receiving more and more of that sweet, fresh water from the glaciers and the melting of the polar caps, this slows down and could even stop the jet stream. So that's another reality that we need to find some way to accommodate. Now, if we had a storm surge of close to 14, or actually 14 feet, a little bit over, that impacted and flooded New York to where it's still, in many areas, 8 to 10 feet underwater, how much more would our shorelines look like if we had 2 more feet added to that 14? It would flood nearly every single city on the planet that is at sea level, below sea level, or like New York, living on the edge of the sea. So these are things that if you have any kind of sense in your head, you're going to factor in. I remember, gosh, way back in the 80s, Tuella, channeling the Ashtar Command, said that people should begin to move at least 200 miles inland from all of the coastlines, that there would be not only devastating storms in the future, but there would also be the raising of the sea level. My gosh, that was back in the 80s that information came forward. And because it's been so slow and gradual, and grace has greatly mitigated many of the more catastrophic things that could have happened, because we did wake up, we did increase the love and light on the planet. So there's some brownie points that we have there. But the fact is now, these things are simply going to happen, and must happen, and need to happen, and will happen. And now we need to adjust accordingly. So although people want to rebuild and replicate basically the same lifestyle and business as usual that they had before in the same areas without, changing anything, it's time to make some changes. It's time for us to create what we want on the planet instead of rebuilding the same old things. So the winds, another reality, the winds that Sandy produced reached 190 miles an hour at one point, and the ones that leveled Joplin, Missouri, some say reached 140 miles an hour. So, again, the new norm is greatly increased wind velocity. How does that affect us? Well, builders and city designers and so forth need to rethink the shape, location, and kinds of structures we build in adapting to these new systems. Now, our stringing electrical power lines from pole to pole is both primitive and obsolete. Nikola Tesla from Venus came and gave us the new technology that we really need now, giving over 5,000 ways that we could be avoiding the very problems that we are now having to face. Why? Because they wanted to prioritize making commerce and profit rather than providing an energy that was free, that was given as a gift from the earth itself and from the wind and the natural forces of the earth, but they couldn't make any money over that. So think of how bizarre it is that we sell. I mean, you even have to pay for air. If you want to put air in your tires, you have to buy it. How crazy is that? You have to buy water. You have to buy pieces of land. Who told you that you owned the land that, or anybody owned land, that they had the right to sell? I think about it, how crazy it is. What a strange thing we've created, and now we're going to have to uncreate. We have to find other ways. So another thing that is a big problem with what has happened on the East Coast is that when people fled for their lives, literally, when the storm surge hit and the storm hit, they left all of the power things on and just ran. Then the power grids went down, and then when they were re-fired, when they got the systems energized again, there was gas leaks, And so then you had explosions and fires everywhere. Hundreds of homes have been burned because of these leaking gas lines. I mean, who knew? Who thought? You can actually see in the news the fire coming up through the sand. How bizarre. Who would think of that? So even getting the power back on is posing a problem, because now you have to think, wow, there are leaking gas lines there, and you can't tell if your own house is going to explode or the person next to you, assuming you still have a house. So another big problem, which if we had listened and availed ourselves of the Tesla technology and used it for peaceful energy sources instead of trying to create military destructive devices out of it. That's when he bailed, when he saw his technology was going to be used to kill rather than to promote life. It really was greatly discouraging to him. So we would not be having these electrical problems, these gas problems, or any of this if we had not allowed greed and avarice and selfishness and short-sightedness to be our guide instead of the love that we are. So it's time to prioritize innovation and working together to create and implement new systems. And, you know, I also believe that this East Coast crisis will force our collective addressing of the hunger, homelessness, and poverty in the United States and elsewhere in the world, which in many cases remains marginalized and in even more cases ignored altogether. And were it not for the faith-based but really overly stressed community, people would literally be dying in the streets of America as people pass by. I know it's a disgrace to think that in America, that is feeding already so many countries, that our own people are homeless. And they're not bums, and they're not panhandlers, and they're not lazy, and they're not out there because they aren't willing to work. They're out there because they haven't been able to find any support to getting back on their feet. And now we have people of all income brackets that are homeless, stranded, needing water, food, shelter, sanitary facilities, literally everything. Millions on the East Coast are left with absolutely nothing but one another. And that is the good news. We have one another. And it's obvious we can no longer live isolated, singular lives. We need each other. So another game-changing reality we must face is that our way of living is destroying our planet and can no longer be sustained in its current forms. The people on planet Earth, for example, created the financial system and prioritized making money at the cost of everyone and everything else. So we have created this monster that now is threatening to destroy us. The Bible says it very clearly. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And we love money more than anything else. And it's obvious we will sacrifice everyone and everything in the pursuit of obtaining more of it. So our values and priorities are essentially selfish and amoral. We have become idolaters who worship the golden calf, which I find rather iconically replicated in the bronze bull that one sees very prominently displayed on Wall Street. Bronze has been called the symbol of suffering. And boy, have we suffered in the hell world of the market forces. This month I watched the Spiritual Cinema Circle movie for the month, and it was entitled Happy. And they were studying the different countries and different lifestyles of people, and found that the barefoot rickshaw person who pulls those rickshaws through the streets of the Indian cities was as happy as the average American. And he lived in this shack that was, you know, just cardboard and pieces of this and that put together. And he said he had a good life, that he had a good home, and that he was happy. And when he saw his little son when he came home from work, it filled his heart with great joy. And he felt like he was the richest man in the world. And you can see from his face that he had peace and a sense of well-being. That's amazing, you know? That's amazing. So you know it's not what you have that makes you happy. They also showed something that I had never heard of. And that is something called karoshi in Japan, which, by the way, was found to be the most unhappy nation. And literally people were pressed in into their subway systems, like sometimes you see cattle and animals being transported where they're crushed together so much that their faces are pressed up against the sides of the carrier. That's the way the people were in the subway. And they were commuting back and forth to their jobs. And karoshi is where people, very young people even, drop dead from overwork. And apparently they work such inhumane, insane hours that they literally drop dead from overwork. And that malady is called karoshi. So here we have Japan, one of the most affluent and productive nations. And they had an immense pattern interrupt with that horrid tsunami. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's the punishment or the wrath of God or karma or anything like that. I don't believe it is. I believe that it's part of those changes that are just naturally part of a cycle that we go through every so many thousands of years. We're in a normal cycle of upheaval and planetary change. And with it comes a shifting of the continental divisions, the continents that are above water, the continents that were submerged. They begin to change, exchange positions, and the weather system change. It's just a normal thing, and nobody's to be blamed. And certainly God is not punishing and throwing thunderbolts to chastise the evil people, because as I said before, we're all incarnations of God. So if we're all incarnations of God and we all were given free will by God and we live on a planet that's governed by allowing us to have at it and to learn from trial and error and mistakes, why would we be punished for that? So God is not to blame. The Illuminati are not to blame, the Cabal are not to blame, the Draconians and whatever are not to blame, the presidents are not to blame, the other world leaders are not to blame. Any individual nation is not to blame, any individual religion is not to blame. We're all people learning how to allow our divinity to totally be our entire expression. We're all learning that. We're all in process of uncovering the precious diamond that we are. And no one's to blame. So the happiest nation that they found in this movie that they shared, Happy, was Denmark. And Denmark, I don't know if you're aware of it, but they introduced the concept of co-housing, which now, here in California, was spearheaded by the daughter of one of my friends, to where they have a whole co-housing unit that she went through a great deal of difficulty with a group of people to spearhead through and get implemented in Chico, California. And so co-housing is where several families will get together and live in a communal situation. In the situation that she created here in California, each person has their own small home, but they share communal childcare, communal backyard, communal pool, communal meals as much as they want to partake, or they can cook in their own house. Everything else is shared communally, communal laundry. I loved it. I thought it was fabulous. And that is what's making people in Denmark so happy, because they find that when you have a sense of connection with friends and family and other people, people live longer and they're happier and they have less stress, because everything is shared in common, the workload is shared in common, and that therefore you don't have the burden of ownership and maintenance entirely on your own shoulders, and you don't have the burden of surviving on your own, or even taking care of your children on your own, because everyone takes care of the children. And when the children were interviewed, they were all happier too, because they had lots of friends and lots of people who loved them and cared for them. So the older people served like the grandparents, you know, to these children. And it was wonderful. And you saw how happy and relaxed the people were. Much better quality of life. So I really think that that's a trend which we will see develop more and more, because it simply is a healthier way to live. We are essentially, human beings are essentially tribal, social, and relational by nature. That's our nature. We used to live in tribes. We used to honor the elders as the wisdom keepers. We used to take care of all of the children together. We used to share things in common. We used to have the people that would go out and get the food and bring it in. And we would share everything without any need of money, without any need of any kind of commercial system. And everyone lived well and were happy and thrived. So I really see this as something that we're going to find growing in the more industrialized countries, because we lose touch with our humanity when we live only depending upon making money and conducting business. We get too mental then. We lose touch with the earth. We lose touch of our hearts. We lose touch of our humanity. And we just become a human doing instead of a human being. So that's another game-shifting paradigm that I see emerging out of this. So our human instrument is designed and intended to extend love. And to extend love, we need to be relational. And so love is life, and life is loving and sharing and co-creating together as one family of humanity. So I see very many good things that will come out of this Sandy, the hurricane, and all of the catastrophic earth-changing events that are happening throughout the world. I see, number one, an inner community that develops where everyone bands together to help one another through these times. I see circles of assistance that will spring up everywhere, people helping people. And, you know, when we do that, that makes us all better. I see that there will be plenty of jobs, as every form of construction, trade, and engineering skill will be called upon to rebuild entire cities and communities. I see also the line between the haves and the have-nots has suddenly been blurred and in many cases erased. And as a result, the impoverished middle-class person who has been unable to find work for in some cases, years, and has thus been reduced to homelessness, will suddenly be included in this renewal system. I see the federal, state, and local officials will absolutely need to cooperate as one unit in exercising genuine leadership in serving the people. You know, in ancient times, the king and queen's honor depended upon how well they cared for their subjects. Wow, that's how they were greeted, how well they cared for their subjects. So political leaders are going to also be shifting their paradigm to, instead of political power they're going to be servers of humanity. First and foremost, they're going to be servers of the people. And so service is, I would say, next to the raising of consciousness, the greatest indication that we have made that shift into the new paradigm, which is going to be not monetarily based, but consciousness based. All the sciences of consciousness are going to be the important things. It's not going to be how much money you have, but how much genuine wisdom do you express through your consciousness? How much enlightenment, how much of those higher qualities of divinity is expressing through your humanity? That's going to be the new value system, I believe. So let's do a little bit of visualizing as we see a great love wave of divine light and love and strength just wash over all of the people that have been affected by these global storms, by Sandy, the east coast of the United States, and wherever else in the world there is now disruption and upheaval. And we just ask that the love of God touch to every man, woman, child, animal, plant, every tree, every deva, all the elemental beings, all of the weather systems, that they all have a touch of divine love and grace and ease, that they may feel that regardless of what's happened in their outer life, that it is well with their soul, that love is present, and that they will indeed get out of this situation, and we will together indeed create a whole new way of living and sharing our planet that will make us all a great deal happier. And let's just set that as a lovely thought form and prayer over our collective planet and world, and particularly our brothers and sisters on the East Coast tonight. And we send light and love to all of the leaders and the president and everyone who is doing all they can to be of assistance at this time. So we'll go out chanting, Anahiu. Deep breath. Anahiu. I love you. God bless you. The peace of God be with you. Adonai.